I want to start with this, that it is so good to be here with you. I think back, and I was looking over my calendar. I was thinking back to a year ago, what this looked like. This time last year, we didn't have power. We had trees on houses and cars and everywhere in between. This time last year, I was kind of laid up in a house probably 15, 20 minutes from here, recovering from cancer surgery. And so the difference in the work that God has done in a year is outstanding. Because the second song that we sung this morning, when it's talking about Jehovah Rapha, the healer, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom, I needed all those this year. And I didn't say this in first. I kind of left it right there in first, but somebody in here needs the healer, needs the waymaker, needs God. I don't know who it is, but I'm just here to tell you this morning, like he's not done with you. That season, that struggle that you have going on right now, like, yeah, it's rough right now. But we serve a good and faithful Father who has started a good work in you, and he is going to see it to completion. Now, it may take time. It may take a year. It may take 5 years, 10 years. What I want you to hear this morning is like, man, God sees you. The tears you cry right now, they're not wasted. He knows and counts every single one and still calls you a son and daughter of the Most High King. So don't think that you're able to hide. Don't think that he didn't see you in this very moment, because he does. And I don't know, once again, I don't know who that's for, because I didn't say it in first, but I was back there praying. I said, I don't know what this is, Lord, but I'm going to say it, and I'm just going to say yes. And, you know, I trust you with the outcome. So this morning I get the honor and the privilege to introduce a new series that we're doing here and that we're kicking off today. It's honestly a series that's probably going to step on some toes, including mine. Somebody stopped me in the lobby after first service and was like, man, you should have texted me. And I'm like, about what? I was concerned. Like, did I miss something? And, you know, because I do. If I don't write down, it's gone. He was like, no, like, I needed my steel-toe boots this morning. And I was like, that's on me. That's on me. I apologize. I'll text you next time. No, I won't. The series we're starting today is called Watch Your Mouth. I've titled this particular sermon in the series, Tame Your Tongue. We're going to be talking about, I think, something that if we're all honest and transparent with each other, that you know, every single one of us struggles with, and that's our words. That's our words. So as we get into this, I want to be super clear about something. The fact is that we live in a world that is completely saturated with words. We're constantly on social media. We're constantly texting and posting and sharing from other people. Words come at us from every single direction. They come at us from every single direction, and in turn, we fire them back without even thinking, without passing it through a filter. We just fire it back instantly because we believe words can't hurt us. We say things like I said as a kid, sticks and stones. Y'all know that one? May break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Thank you, Jesse. Me and Jesse lived a different childhood than what you guys lived. Because I felt like I had that on repeat all the time. Which is why, as an adult, I married a counselor. Because that was the biggest lie that I bought into as a child. Because words indeed do hurt. They do hurt. And so we all know that little saying is a bold-faced lie from the enemy. from the enemy. Because the truth is, our culture has fundamentally distorted the power of the tongue. It's distorted it. It's distorted what God gave us for good. It's distorted that. We become a people who are quicker to post a complaint than to pray about that complaint. We're quicker to post than we are to pray. You want to know how I know? Because y'all add me on the social medias. Hey, I got them. I sees them. I don't says nothing. And just like that, I lost 10 followers. That's fun for me. But the moment that we feel anger, the moment that we feel judgment or frustration, our instant knee-jerk reaction is to spew it out online for the world to validate who we are and not push the kingdom forward. It's to validate who we are, not to push the kingdom forward. Social media has turned every single one of us into an instant news anchor for our own personal drama, and we've forgotten the spiritual weight of our words carry. I'm not against social media because I like seeing y'all stuff and your drama. I like seeing it. Because I like reading it going, woo-hoo-hoo, ooh, this tea hot. That's free. But I think what the enemy does, the enemy has given us each a platform and access to millions of people. Right? As long as you can come up with a username and a password and put in some basic information, you can have a platform to millions of people that are going to read our stuff, whatever it is. We can share whatever and say basically whatever. I'm probably already in trouble. So some of us don't need that platform. Some of us don't need that platform. And you go, well, why? I started with Jesus. Yeah, you might have said Jesus, but you didn't really mean it. You might have had some like Jesus bread here, but the meat of what you said, darkness. Darkness. But I said amen at the end. I don't know who you was praying to, but it's turned us into instant news anchors for our own drama. And then in turn, we've forgotten that weight that our words carry. But the good news is the Bible has a ton to say about this. So today we're going to start in Proverbs 13:3. Proverbs 13:3. It says, whoever guards his heart preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. He who opens his lips comes to ruin. Comes to ruin. And Jesus himself said in Luke 6:45, said this, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. His mouth speaks. So what you say matters. What you share and post and talk about and pray about, it matters. It matters because it reveals what's going on inside of you. Because I know I titled this sermon Tame the Tongue, but really it's about transforming the heart that's behind the tongue. Because each of us have a heart condition that we don't want to admit, and then our tongue tells on us. It tells on us. Because our words are a direct link to our hearts. So today, we're going to start this series by looking at one of the most powerful passages in the entire Bible on this very topic. And that's James chapter 3. So if you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn over there. We're gonna be there for quite some time this morning, at least 24 more minutes, according to the TV. Maybe more, who knows? James chapter 3. And the big idea is this. Before we get too in-depth, the big idea is this. The tongue is small, but it is spiritually powerful. And what you say shapes who you become. And it impacts every single person around you. So we're going to look at the three things. And if I don't communicate anything else, I want to communicate these three things. Is that the tongue has power, number one. That we have a problem, number two. And that there's a solution to the problem. Those are the three things I want to communicate if you don't hear anything else this morning. So, the first thing James tells us is just how powerful this little muscle is. Look at verse 3 and 4. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they may be so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. Wherever the will of the pilot directs. I was on a cruise a few weeks back, and I remember looking out one of the windows, and I see like this big cargo ship. Y'all know them big cargo ships be holding them big containers that y'all put in your backyards and store all the junk in that you only pull out once a season? You know those things, you know those Connex boxes things. So I'm watching this massive cargo ship way out on the horizon. And I'm talking about like a literal floating city carrying thousands of tons of stuff. Basically everything my wife and my daughter ordered from Amazon is on that ship. It's there. And they're coming to Woodruff. Okay, they're bringing it. They're sending a bunch of trucks from that ship. They're bringing it to my porch to drop off. For me to trip over and cry. So now that ship's crew isn't just using like a massive sail on top of it or like these giant paddles. Can you imagine if that big ship was moved by paddles? That would be literally crazy. Sorry, ADD. The captain is using a small rudder, a small piece of metal that's a fraction of the ship's size. But that one thing is what's directing this whole massive ship. It can turn a few degrees, and in a few hours, given enough time, it can change the direction. It changes the direction. It changes the destination that you end up in. So if you want to change the direction of your life, you don't need a massive change in circumstance. You don't need a massive change in circumstance. You just need a small change in your vocabulary. How many of y'all are praying for that? Lord, just get me out of this situation. Not, Lord, change the way I reacted to that frustration. Lord, the things I said, the things that exited my mouth, Father, I know they're not from you. Father, I know that I'm in this situation as a byproduct. And Father, I surrender this moment to you. How many times are we praying that prayer? Or is it, Lord, just get me out of it, and I'll pray to you again once I get in another one of these pickles. Once we get another one. But your words are just as powerful as that little rudder. Every word you speak to your spouse, to your kids, to your coworkers, and even to yourself, is like that little rudder steering you towards a destination. Believe it or not, I pass my sermons through people in the congregation. I send it to some people. I send it to my wife, let her look at it, you know, tell me that I stink and, you know, all that stuff. But I send it to some people, and they look over it and tell me if I'm way off base, if I'm, you know, creating heresy or, you know, whatever. See, you know, check my theology, all that fun stuff. So I sent it to some people this week. They checked it. Great. You know, they gave me feedback. I didn't change anything, but they gave me feedback anyway. you're welcome. Well, last night, I got home late, and I'm like, man, I need to look over my sermon. Me and my son, Ryder, he's nine, he comes into the room, and I'm reading over, and I go, Ryder, man, can I read my sermon to you? He gives me that look of, not really. And I'm like, well, you know, please. And he's like, okay. So he walks, I'm sitting at my desk, he walks next to me, and I say, you know, right, I'm going to start, and I started reading it, and I probably didn't make it this far into my sermon, and I feel like this breath on my face, and at that moment, I noticed two things. Number one, he needed to brush his teeth. Number two, and the more important of those things, is this dude's bought in right now. Like, my nine-year-old's bought into what I'm saying. And so I read a little bit more, and I look at him, and I go, Ryder, is it good? Like, is it good? And he's like, yes, Dad, it's good. I'm like, okay, well, can I read some more? Once again, inadvertently, he's like, you know, gives me that face of like, not really, like, we're good, we're fine. And I'm like, well, I'm going to read some more anyway. And so I read some more. And then I look at him again, and I go, Ryder, what do you think? Is it good? Remember, he's 9 years old, and he looks at me, and I've already passed this through adults in the room. He looks at me, and he goes, Dad, he goes, I think it's good. He goes, Dad, I love the way you preach. He goes, Dad, he goes, Dad, I love the way that you love Jesus. He said, Dad, I think you're always great. Those words had impact. Not that the other feedback that I got didn't, but those words right there, man, those hit me. Those hit me in a place that I was like, man, now that's some feedback I like. He didn't say, you got to change anything. He just said, Dad, man, I love the way you chase after Jesus. And Dad, you may get up there and say something off the wall and crazy, but Dad, I still love you. I still love you. And Dad, I think you're great. I was like, okay, well, we're done. I don't want to read no more to you because I need a Kleenex. But if you constantly and consistently are speaking words of frustration and criticism, and then on the backside of that, you're wondering why that you have a life of bitterness and that you're surrounded by relationships that are strained, what did you expect? What did you expect? If you consistently speak words of gratitude and encouragement to other people to build up the body, you're steering your life towards joy, which is a fruit of the Spirit, and then healthy relationships for people around you. But it all starts with what comes out of your mouth. James takes us one step further. He says in verse 5, how great a forest is set on fire by a small spark, by a small spark. And I'm sure you've seen news reports of wildfires, and it's kind of mind-boggling how they start. You know, most of them start by a single spark, by a single ember. A few years back, do you guys remember the Gatlinburg wildfires? You guys remember those? They were started by a single spark from a match from some young people doing something dumb. Okay? What began as a tiny, almost unnoticeable flame consumed thousands of acres, destroyed thousands of homes, and took many lives, all from one small thing. Well, church, it's the same with our words, but even faster than wildfire. A single careless insult, a little piece of gossip, a small complaint, a small offense can start a fire that burns down a friendship, destroys a reputation, destroys a marriage, and hurts a whole community of people around you. A text message fire that you just threw into a group chat can burn down years of trust in seconds. The small size of the tongue is honestly an optical illusion. It's an optical illusion because its power is massive. Its power is massive. Your relationships with people around you are broken and built on what comes out of your mouth. Ask my wife. They're built on those. That is the power of the tongue, church. It is small, but it is so, so powerful. So now that's just the start of the issue, though. Because the next thing James tells us is about the spiritual problem that makes this so much harder. We're going to look at verse 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and it is itself set on fire by hell. That's heavy. That's heavy. That's not just, well, hey, church, have you thought about just being a little nicer? That's not that. That's not just like, well, hey, just be a little nicer. Maybe not give so much offense. I think if he would have meant that, he would have said that. He would have said it. But James is telling us here there's a spiritual force at work. Our tongue isn't just powerful. It is a restless evil. Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. Booyah. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. That's the problem. That is the central problem. And if we're being honest, we all know this. We can try to be nice. We can try to hold our tongues. We can make resolutions to stop gossiping. But as soon as we get in a tough situation, or we're tired, or we get a flat tire, or you step on a Lego, or whatever, it just comes out. It just comes out. It just rolls out of your mouth. I think if gossip and dissension and division was a spiritual gift, there would be a lot of people in here that would be prophets. And I think that's dangerous to the whole body of the church. I think it's dangerous. Because when we say something, we immediately have regret. Well, why? Because we think we can just throw it out there and then reel it back in and hope nobody noticed. Have you ever thought that we just like to offend people? Have you ever thought that we just like being mean? Have you ever thought that, man, I just want to gossip about people? Have you ever thought about that? The problem isn't just a behavior we can correct, church. It's a spiritual battle that we cannot win on our own. We can't win on our own. James 3:8 also says it is a restless evil full of deadly poison. This is why in Psalm 141:3, David's prayer, I think, is very powerful in this when he says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." Church, I charge you to weaponize that prayer. Why? Because you're going to need that prayer this week. You may need that prayer before you exit out of this room, depending on what I say in a few minutes. Like, there's going to be some stuff this way that does not go your way. And your instant knee-jerk reaction is going to be just to spout off something. Well, that something better be kingdom building and kingdom minded so it pushes his kingdom forward and pushes darkness back and not just builds you up. Church, we need to weaponize Psalm 141:3. It needs to be a constant prayer for us in every moment of our lives, not just when we go to bed or wake up in the morning or eat dinner. Like, you know you can talk to God all the time. Like, it's not a collect call where you get charges. It's not. Like, you can just talk to him. You can say, God, I need you in this very moment right now. Like, I know something dumb is about to come out of my mouth. I know it. I know it. So God, put a guard on my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips, Lord. And David, I think he knew he couldn't do this on his own. He knew he needed God to put a guard on his mouth. James tells us it is set on fire by hell. I'm sure this is not revolutionary information for you, that the enemy is an accuser. The enemy will sneak in and accuse you of things that you thought you had forgotten about, things that had happened a long time ago. His primary weapon is words. Those are lies. Those are slander. Those are division. Those are deceit. Those are gossip. He wants to take this powerful tool that God gave us and turn it into a weapon of destruction. And culturally, we've let it. Culturally, we've let it. We've never been more divided. We will argue over anything. If I say the sky is blue, somebody in here will argue with me after church and say, you were wrong. It's purple. I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's blue. I'm pretty sure. I mean, I've been in here for a few hours. It may be purple by now, but I still think it's blue. We've never been more divided because we've let the enemy come in and create division within the body. Once again, you want to know how I know? Because you add me on social media. I see it. You would share things on social media and say things that you would not say in this room. You will share things and say things on social media and all over the place for everybody to see that you would not bring to the feet of the Father and pray about. You wouldn't bring it before a holy and righteous God, but yet you chose and I chose to put it out there for the world to see so that I can be built up, that I can distract from His kingdom and really build up a kingdom of darkness as I create deceit and dissension amongst our people. It's a weapon of destruction. But here's the kicker. We know our hearts are a mess. We know it. But we act like our words are separate. We act like there's this camp over here where I walk the walk, and there's another camp way over here where I talk the talk. But guess what? That don't make no sense. That doesn't make sense. In your spiritual walk, that doesn't work. Why? Because if you're doing that, that's when you get to work or places, and you start talking about Jesus, and they look at you and go, oh, you're a believer? And then you get offended and go, well, how come you didn't know? And they say, well, you didn't walk the walk. Or, well, you didn't talk the talk. Like, they don't make sense. They're not separate in our spiritual walk. James 9 and 10. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. It's not good versus bad. It's not good versus bad. I've said it before. That's not the gospel. It's not good versus bad things. It's literally you speaking life versus you speaking death over people around you that you claim to love. It's death versus life. Stop saying, well, I'm just going to do good. I'm just going to say good things. I got to stop saying bad things. No, you have to stop saying things that speak death over the people around you. You have to start speaking life to them. You have to start raising people up. You have to start loving people the way Jesus loved them. Because really, a two-faced tongue is proof of a divided heart. A two-faced tongue is proof of a divided heart. And James tells us, you can't do it. You can't do it. You can't have both a holy fountain and a salty spring. You can't have both. But that brings us to the solution. Brings us to the solution. This isn't a self-help sermon. It's not a self-help sermon where I tell you, church, just be nicer and try harder. How has that worked so far? Has it worked for anybody? Okay, no hands are raised, so that feels good. So it doesn't work. That's a losing battle. The only solution for the problem of the tongue is the power of the Holy Spirit transforming your heart right now. Transforming your heart right now. So there's a little bit of a reality check because we all have those moments, right? You make a promise to yourself. I'm not going to complain about work anymore. I'm not going to gossip about that person anymore. I'm not going to offend anybody today. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And you really mean it, at least in your head. You really mean it. You muster up all your strength. You grit your teeth. You close your fist. And for a day or two, it works. And you think, I've got this. You start beating your chest. Man, I got this. But then somebody pushes your buttons. and the words just come falling out of your mouth, and you're left standing there thinking, I just can't seem to control this. I can't seem to control my mouth. Well, church, that's the same excuse my 9-year-old has. When he says something off the wall, I'm like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, well, it just come out. I couldn't control it. I'm like, yes, you can. And he goes, well, Dad, so can you. But to a certain extent, you're right. You can't. James says in verse 11 and 12, does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. This is the key. The words you speak are a direct reflection of what's in your heart. They're a direct reflection. You can't get fresh water from a salty spring. You can't get good words from a bitter, angry, or unforgiving heart. You can't do it. Because, church, we don't need just a filter. We need a fresh source of life. We need a fresh source of water. So the good news is there's a spiritual solution to this. Because the answer isn't just about putting a lid on the spring to just, I'm just going to stop saying those words. I'm just going to stop gossiping. I'm just going to stop offending people. I'm just going to stop doing those things. The answer is to let God change the water itself. And the only thing that can do that is the Holy Spirit. He is the one who transforms us from the inside out. He takes our sinful, selfish hearts and makes them new. Think about it like this. The Holy Spirit is the purifying fire. He comes into our lives not to destroy us, but to purify us. To purify us. Just like the refiner's fire, it burns away all the impurities and metal. The Holy Spirit burns away the anger, the bitterness, and the pride that we have in our hearts that causes us to speak so destructively to people around us. He gives us a new nature that desires to speak life, to build up, to bless, to love, and to encourage people. Because, church, this is more than just willpower. This is more than just you pulling up yourself by your bootstraps. It's going to take more than that. This is about surrendering completely. It's about surrendering everything, not just some things. This is a work of grace, not a work of willpower. Because, church, we don't need a self-help book. We need a Holy Spirit intervention in this room. We need a Holy Spirit intervention in this room right now. Because it's not about trying harder. It's about surrendering completely before a holy and righteous God and trusting that He has the best path for us. Surrendering to the Holy Spirit isn't just like the single event that happened when we were 8 and we took a weird bath in front of the church. It's not that. But for a lot of us, we account all the spiritual growth to what happened a bunch of years ago. It's just that. It's that single event. No, it's a daily moment-by-moment position of the heart. It's the difference between a one-time I'm sorry and a complete U-turn in your life. Because you can't just throw the keys to the Holy Spirit and then try to grab the steering wheel back every time you see a turn that you want to take. It doesn't work that way. That's not surrender. That's trying to manipulate the Spirit to give you what you want so that you're elevated and He's not. That is not surrender. Surrender means giving up control of your life. Getting out of the driver's seat entirely and trusting that He knows what is best for you. It means admitting, I'm a terrible driver. I've crashed my life. And I've hurt people time after time after time, over and over and over. And God, I'm handing over the keys for good. So when somebody cuts us off in traffic, when we get that text that we thought we were never going to get, when we hear gossip in here, at work, wherever we are, we have the opportunity in that moment to God, I surrender this moment to You. I surrender it to you, trusting that your way is better than my way was ever going to be. This complete surrender, that is what makes the difference. It's the difference between a life of trying and a life of abiding. Because when we abide in Christ, we're connected to the source of life, and the Holy Spirit flows through us. Our words become a natural outflow of His character, not your character. Not our own brokenness. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. The surrender is this, a confession that we are powerless, a trust that the Holy Spirit is the only one who can change our hearts, and a release of your grip on your own willpower. The moment you feel that urge to offend, to gossip, to complain, you don't fight it alone. You instantly turn to the Holy Spirit and say, I'm giving this to you. I surrender this very moment, this very second to you. And it's in that surrender that He gives you the strength and the grace to choose a different word. It's in that moment. So church, we've talked about the power of the tongue. We've talked about the problem with it. And we've talked about the only solution. Maybe for you, the problem is gossip. Maybe it's criticism or complaining. Maybe it's angry words towards a brother or a sister or a child or a spouse. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. I'm sure you know it. And it's not about just doing good. It's not about just doing good. This is literally life versus death. So church, what everyone around you should see in you is life. Should see a new spring come up out of you. Because it is out of the overflow of your heart. Church, that's where I pray that the transformation happens this morning. I can give you 12 steps to not say bad words no more. I can give you all these things. We can do whatever. I can be your accountability partner and whatever. But ultimately, your mouth is just a byproduct of what's already inside your heart that we're not dealing with already. So church, we're going to have to do the hard thing. We're going to have to do the hard thing. We're going to have to admit that something is going on here and that it just happens to be coming out of here. And in that, we have to trust and know that God is faithful, that He is faithful to redeem, that He has sent His Son to die on a cross for you, that the blood that was shed covers that, that that sinful nature that we each have inside of us is gone. We don't live there anymore. We're able to go out and operate in life, not death, proclaiming His kingdom to all people and all nations. Church, it's time to stop talking death over people. It's time to stop creating dissension and division amongst people that God calls sons and daughters. It's time to stop. You don't have to share everything you see on social media. You don't have to say everything. You don't have to weigh in. But what all of us should do is lift those prayers high. Pray for those people. Pray for those people. So church, our staff's going to be here in a second. I challenge you to bring your heart condition before a holy and righteous God. To admit, like, I don't have it all together. I can't fix this on my own. But God, I need you. I need your spirit to dwell within me, to transform my heart, so that the overflow of the spirit working in me allows me to love people around me better. So church, this morning, would you do the hard thing? Would you admit that we have a heart condition that we can't fix? There's no amount of cardiologist that can fix the heart condition that we have. But we serve a good and faithful physician that sees you, has not shunned you, in fact, sent his only son for you. So would you bring your heart condition before him this morning? Would you lay it at his feet and trust him with it? Church, would you come to the altar this morning? Would you allow us to align ourselves with heaven so that we're able to pray with you and for you and through you so that Holy Spirit can work in your life this morning? Staff, would you come? Church, would you respond this morning as we worship together? Let's stand.